First John chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses of scripture here and then get into my message. But I've entitled this message, Born of God, What It Does and Does Not Do. Now you can know, if the Lord is pleased to bless this message afterwards, whether or not you've actually been born of God. That's something I want to know. Born of God. Beginning in verse 4 of 1 John chapter 3, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, as we go on reading through this passage of Scripture, every time you read about the commission of sin, whosoever committeth sin, it's talking about transgressing God's law. That sets up everything, really. I've heard people say, well, what that means is you don't practice sin as a habitual habit. Do you? You commit the same sin more than once? Do you do so habitually? Yes. Does that excuse it? No. Does that mean you think it's okay? No. But we're talking about what this passage of Scripture actually says. That's what we want to look at. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. Now that's what sin, what he means by sin. You break the law. Let's go on reading. Verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Did he do it? Did he do it? When he said, it is finished, they were taken away. They are no more. And in him is no sin. You know what that means? That means if you're in him, you have no sin. Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now what does it mean to abide in him? Well, in him's a place, isn't it? And if you abide in him, that means you don't want to be anywhere else. There's a conscious desire to only be found in him. You don't want God to look at you in any other way but in him. And that's what it means to abide in him. You don't want to be anywhere else. You know exactly what Paul meant when he said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. When God comes looking for me, there's only one place I want to be found, in him. Now look what it says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Well, that means he doesn't practice sin. No, it means he does not sin, period. That's what it means. But what about my sin? I'm not going to deny that I have taken away. He was manifested to take away our sins. In him is no sin. Whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, verse 7. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. What is the doing of righteousness? It's anything a righteous man does. You have to be righteous to do righteous. And every believer is the very righteousness of God in him. Now, this thing of doing righteousness, look what verse 29 of chapter 2 says. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, this is the result of the new birth, the new nature. It's a righteous nature. It's a holy nature. As we're going to go on reading, we're going to see that this nature does not commit sin. Let's go on reading. Verse 8. He that committeth sin, and let me say that about everybody looks at this, that means you practice sin as a habit. That's not permissible in the language of this passage of Scripture. It's talking about the actual commission of sin. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? The commission of sin. It all started with him and his temptation of Adam. Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, how many different ways are there to take that? Whosoever is born, birthed of God, doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot, he lacks the ability to sin, because he's born of God. Now obviously this is talking about the two natures of the believer. He has an evil nature, a sinful nature, and he has a holy nature that does not sin. Now that's hard to get your mind wrapped around if you don't have two natures. You won't understand it. Somebody that only has one nature, they think that guy's crazy. That doesn't make sense. That's contradictory. I don't believe that. But if you have two natures, you know exactly what this is saying. You might not be able to express it verbally, but you know what it feels like. You experience it. You only have one consciousness, and both natures come out of that one consciousness, kind of like a water faucet. You know, you got hot water, cold water, but it comes out of the same faucet. You got it coming out of the same faucet, one consciousness, but it's still true. Every believer has a holy nature, and every believer has a sinful nature. And that's what's being spoken of in this text. It's not talking about practicing sin habitually. Now, I long to not sin. There's never an excuse for sin. I want to be holy. I want to be obedient. I want to never sin again. That's what John says. These things write unto you that you sin not. That sounds awful attractive to me. But what is this new nature? What is this thing of being born of God? Now, this is just as essential to salvation as any other aspect of salvation. Election's essential to salvation, isn't it? You can't be saved if God didn't elect you. The person and work of Christ is essential to salvation. You can't be saved unless Christ gives you his righteousness and pays for your sins. And the new birth is essential to salvation. You cannot be saved apart from being born from above. Now, what does this new birth do? I would like to know whether I've actually been born of God, wouldn't you? What I want us to do is to look in the places in the New Testament where being born of God is spoken of. Now, it's taught in the Old Testament as well. While you're turning to John chapter 1, you remember when God said in Ezekiel 36, a new heart I'll give you. Something that was not there before that I give. A new heart also will I give you. That's regeneration. That's the new birth. It's taught in the Old Testament, but turn here to John chapter 1. This is the first time it's mentioned in the New Testament. Verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. There it is. Which were born. Which were birthed. Which were given life. Now, before I go on, why do I need to be birthed? Because I don't have spiritual life. It's that simple. I don't have spiritual life. I'm dead in sins. What does dead in sins mean? It means exactly what the Lord said to His disciples when they saw the rich young ruler walk away. And they said, if he can be saved, who then can be saved? Here's the Lord's answer. With men, it is impossible. That's what total depravity means. If God leaves me to myself, all He's got to do is leave me alone, and I will not be saved. I need to be birthed. I need to be given life. Now, let's go on reading. Verse 13. Which were born, not of blood. You're not born from above because your mom and daddy are. Not of the will of the flesh. Free will's as big a lie as there's ever been told. Nobody's born because they decide to be born. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Not of the will of man, not because a bunch of men got together and said, we're going to pray for this man until God saves him. But of God. But of God. Now, what is the evidence of being born of God? Look back in verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. Now, that's the evidence of being born of God. You receive him. What's it mean to receive him? Somebody says, well, at least I received him. I did something. At least I received him. As if that makes any difference. If you didn't receive him, he never gave himself to you. If I see you in need, a real need, I give you $100 and say, I want this to help you out. You say, well, at least I received it. I'll probably take it back. That's not the point of receiving. You receive something because he gave it to you. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And here's what it is. Even to them which believe on His name. You know what that means? That means you believe you're saved wholly for His name's sake. Everything that's involved in His name, His sovereignty, His justice, His holiness, His power, everything that's in His name, He's the one who saves you. You're saved for His name's sake. And you know that when you're born of God. Which were born. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Now here we see the necessity of being born of God. Turn to John chapter 3. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again from above, he cannot. He lacks the ability to see the kingdom of God. Now, if I'm not born from above, I cannot see the things of the kingdom of God. I just can't. I can't understand sin. I can't understand grace. I can't understand the glory of Christ. I can't understand my need of Him. I can't see. Except I'm born from above. But if I'm born from above, you know what? I see.
I see.
I see. First of all, I see that I can't save myself, and I see my desperate need of Him. And I see my continual need of Him, and I see His love. I see. That's the, what happens when folks are born from above? They see. And if they're not born above, they can't see. You take a monkey, and you have the best calculus teacher to ever live that can explain it so clearly and simply that any idiot could learn it. That monkey can't. He lacks the ability. And unless a man is born from above, he lacks the ability to see the kingdom of God. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, the Word. That's not talking about baptism. That's talking about the washing of water by the Word of God, the truth. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You and I cannot enter the kingdom of God apart from Him birthing us into the kingdom through the gospel preached. Now, if you're birthed by God, you know what? Door's wide open. You can enter the kingdom of heaven. You enter as soon as you're birthed. It's not a process either. It's not steps. You're there as you're born of God. Go on reading, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it'll never be anything else. You can't rise above your nature. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Paul said the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Pure spirit. And marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Don't be amazed by this. It's an absolute necessity. The wind blows where it wills, where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. This is the sovereign act of God. How much control do you have over the wind? How much? Absolutely none. How much control do you have of the new birth? Absolutely none. This is the sovereign work of God. He blows where He wills. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. What does the new birth teach us? The new birth teaches us that salvation really is by grace. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, and I think this is interesting, when God tells us what the law has to say, He could have gone straight to the Ten Commandments, and that would be true, wouldn't it? But that's not what Paul goes to when he tells us to hear what the law has to say. He gives us the story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac. Now, I think this is interesting. When I read that story, if I didn't have this passage of Scripture to tell me what it meant, I wouldn't have a clue. I would have never known that this is about grace and works. I would have never known this is about the two covenants. I would have just thought it's one of those amazing Old Testament stories that I can't really understand. But let's look what happened. Verse 22. It's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Now you remember the story. God told Abraham, you're going to have a child through Sarah. Years pass. Sarah's already gone through menopause. Sarah can't bear a child, and she says to Abraham, obviously God's promise is not going to come to pass unless we do our part. That's called salvation by works. That's all it is. If any part of salvation is dependent upon you doing something, that's works. Now, she says, obviously, we need to do our part. Hagar. Abraham says, okay. And they have a son named Ishmael. God never acknowledges him as a son. You remember in Genesis 22 where he said, take now thine only son, Isaac, whom you love. Ishmael's not acknowledged as a son. But now they have Ishmael, and what happens? Verse 22, for it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by bondmaid, the other by free woman, Sarah, who had this miraculous son. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Flesh and God's promise. Works and God's promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. This is salvation by works and salvation by grace. The one from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai. That's where the giving of the law was. Hagar represents law. That's all Hagar represents. Us doing our part. This Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it's written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac were, of the children of the promise, but as in he that was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. There it is. Flesh and Spirit. You know what this tells me? Grace and works can't coexist. They can't be together. He that was born after the flesh is always going to persecute him that's born after the Spirit. But really, the new birth just teaches us salvation's of the Lord. It's His grace. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us, hath birthed us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, if I have a living hope, I know that there's only one reason for that hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I know the only reason I have this living hope is because He was raised from the dead. He put my sin away. He was raised for my justification. And now I stand before God without guilt. So if you're born, if you have a living hope, you have this one reason for having that hope. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Look in verse 22 of the same chapter. Seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently being born again. There it is again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now the incorruptible seed is the gospel message. There is no new birth without hearing the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There is no new birth. There is no regeneration. There is no work of God apart from hearing the gospel. That's the incorruptible seed, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The corruptible seed does not produce life. Salvation by works cannot produce life. It can't make that inner man. It can't make the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, that Peter speaks of again. It is only the gospel. And let's go on reading. Verse 24, here's the message For all flesh, this is the message that you hear. For all flesh is as grass. You remember there, I love it in Isaiah 40 where the voice said, cry, and Isaiah said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. That's the message. All flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now all flesh is grass. That's my flesh, your flesh. Evil. Grass. The goodliness thereof, like the flesh, fades away. What is the one thing that's going to abide on judgment day? The person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God. That only is what abides judgment day. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know, most people don't know that. And if you ask them, do you believe God is righteous? They'll say, oh yeah. Well, if you believe in salvation by works, you don't believe he's righteous. If you think he can accept something you've done, you've taken away his righteousness. If you believe Jesus Christ can die for somebody and they wind up in hell anyway, you don't believe he's righteous. There's so many implications. If you believe that when Christ died, it was the innocent being condemned, you don't really understand his righteousness. You don't understand the gospel. Most people, although if you ask them, yeah, do you believe God? Yeah, I believe he's righteous. But they don't. They don't. But if you do, if you really believe he's righteous, and I tell you what, the only people who really believe he's righteous are the people who have Christ's righteousness as their only righteousness before God. Those are the ones who believe he's righteous. They're afraid to look anywhere else. If you believe that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. The doing of righteousness can only be the result of being born of God. You don't become righteous by doing righteousness. You do righteousness as you are born of God. Now this next scripture even emphasizes this even more. Look in verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's what it says. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he is born of God. Now, the new nature can't sin. This is that meek and quiet spirit Peter spoke of, which is not corruptible. It's not even subject to corruption. This is the inner man. This is the new man. It doth not commit sin. Now, let me ask you a question. Can God sin? No. Can Christ sin? No. Can God the Holy Spirit sin? No. Can that which is born of God sin? No. Partakers, Peter said, of the divine nature. That divine nature cannot sin. Now, do I see that? I see it in the Word. I see it in the Word. I believe it in the Word. Do I see it myself? No. Do I believe it? Yes. Yes. That new man does not commit sin. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, is birthed by God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth Now, obviously, this is not talking about romantic love. It's not talking about parental love. It's not talking about all these loves that we're quite thankful for. I mean, what kind of, we couldn't even exist without these things. And they're gifts of God. I'm thankful for these, but that's not the kind of love it's talking about. He that loveth. Every believer loves God. I love the sovereign God. I love the just God. I love the holy God. I love the independent God. I love the eternal God. I love the omnipotent God. Every attribute of God, I love. I love Him as He's revealed in His Word. Now, to do that, you have to be born of God. I love His people. I really do. Anybody that loves Christ, I love them. I love them. And you do too if you're born of God. It comes natural. He that loveth is born of God. Now, do you? I'm not asking you how much you love God, because if you love God, you feel like you're ashamed of your love. You ought to love Him a whole lot more, shouldn't you? You ought to love Him infinitely more. There's no question about that. But you do love Him, don't you? You wouldn't change Him if it were in your power to do so. If you could change anything about Him, you wouldn't do it, because He's perfect and you love Him as He is. He that loveth is born, birth of God. That's what love does. It doesn't commit sin. And it does love, doesn't it? That's what being born of God does. It does not commit sin. And it does love. Now look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever. One of the best words in the Bible. Whosoever. I'm a whosoever. I love that scripture, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's better than if it said Todd Nybert, because there's other Todd Nyberts. Somebody said that last night. This whosoever, I can get in that demographic. I'm one of them. Whosoever. Whosoever. Doors wide open. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Is it that simple? Yes. Do you believe, now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe He's God's anointed prophet, that He is the Word of God, that He is all God has to say? Do you believe that? Do you believe He's that priest after the order of Melchizedek, that if He represents you before God, you must be saved? If He brings your name before the Father, if He remembers you, all He's got to do is remember you. You're like that thief, Lord, remember me. If you only remember me, I must be saved. Do you believe that if He represents you, if He died for you, if He lives for you, if He intercedes for you, you must be saved? He's the priest after the order of Melchizedek. Do you believe He's God's king, that He rules and reigns and controls everything, and you need Him as such? You need Him to cause you to do His will. You need Him to work faith in you, work repentance in you, work love. You need Him as king. If you believe that He's God's prophet, if you believe that He's God's priest, if you believe that He's God's king, you're born of God. Believe it. Look in verse 4 of chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now what I'd like for me and you to do for just a moment, if we can, is forget everything you think about yourself. I'm not asking you if you believe you're one of the elect. I'm not asking you if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. I'm not asking you if you've been born from above. I'm not asking you if you're saved. Just forget everything you think about yourself. Do you believe that He is the Son of God? You remember when the Lord said to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they gave various answers. He said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The disciples who had been disciples are now leaving, the 5,000 in John chapter 6, and the Lord watched them leave. Now, I can imagine what the disciples might have been thinking about at this time. Can't you say something to get them to stay? But he watched them leave, and then he looked at the 12 and said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter's answer, "To whom shall we go? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the answer. The Ethiopian eunuch, he's heard Philip preach the gospel to him out of Isaiah 53. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard that message? And during the course of this time, he said, "See, here's water." Evidently heard something about baptism, because he said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe." What? What did he say? "I believe I'm saved. I believe I'm one of the elect. I believe Christ died." No! "I believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal, uncreated Son of God. I believe He's the Son of God." Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You've been born of God. I think the most powerful thing I think of is Peter. Remember the Lord said, "Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not." Now this tells us what faith is. He said, "I prayed for you that your faith fail not." Now everything else about Peter failed, didn't it? Everything. And after the resurrection, if you would have come up to him and said, "Peter, do you believe you're saved?" "I'm not sure." "Do you believe you're one of the elect?" "Maybe not." "Do you believe that Christ died for you?" "I couldn't say." "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all my heart?" That never left. That's the faith that did not fail. That is faith. You see, what you believe is determined by who you believe. One final scripture, verse 18 of chapter 5. "For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." There that is again. We know that. "Whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself." He keeps himself. "And that wicked one touches him not." Now what in the world does it mean to keep yourself? It means, and you know it's only by grace you do it, but you stay in Christ. That's the only place a wicked one is not going to touch you, is in Christ. And you know the only place of safety, the only place of security, the only place of salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you're found in Him. If in this room there was nothing but perfect sinlessness, pleasure, everything you could ever desire, and outside of this room there was nothing but wrath, where would you want to be? You'd want to be in this room, wouldn't you? And you know what else? You wouldn't want to go out. You'd want to stay right here. "Whosoever is born of God sins not, but he keeps himself." I know the only reason I'm only in Christ is because Christ put me in there and God put me in there, and I won't be out because of His will. But I tell you what, this is where I want to be. I don't want to be anywhere else but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is what the new birth does. It makes you want to be only in Christ. Amen.